This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
TST 2023, the 20th year here. We're in Tarryton, just north of New York City, at the TST big event, tstseminars.org, the technician service training. Thank you to G. Truly and his wife, Doreen, and the entire volunteer staff from TST 20th year. There's so much to talk about. I can't tell you. I have like 30 discussion points here. I'm with Liz Perkins, and she happened to bring her husband, Keith.
I'm here.
With her, by her side. Let me see. There's three businesses, at least that I know of today. L1 Diagnostic Programming, L1 Training, Level 1 Automotive. Why don't you just put all that under one big name?
Yep, that's the plan. The L1 Auto Group is the name.
I love that.
Yeah, he likes to gather up the LLCs and, you know,
websites.
Websites and, yeah.
So how many you own besides these?
Domains, probably like 30.
Yeah, I own a bunch too that maybe someday, I just come up with an idea and I go buy one.
Yeah, so right now most of them will redirect to me. And some of them are out of sheer hilariousness. Yeah.
Do you own KeithPerkins.com?
I don't.
See, I own CarmCapriato.com.
Yeah, so KeithPerkins.com was taken before I was old enough to even recognize it as a thought process. The drummer for No Doubt, his name is Stephen Perkins, which is my first name.
Yeah.
I actually go by my middle name. So, like, I've tried all that. Other people have them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, nobody has mine, and I own it. And when you type that in,
it's very unique.
It goes to Remarkable Results Radio.
Yeah. It's like a superhero, because it's CC, you know, Peter Parker.
Ooh.
If you look at some Marvel stuff, yeah.
Bill Nalu calls me C squared.
Yeah.
Mm. I don't know if that means that I'm square Clark or it's Kent. Like C to the second power. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Clark Kent, Peter Parker, against Carl Capriato.
Ooh.
Superhero.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Oh, okay. We can end right now. I've got my takeaway.
All right. Thanks, guys. We'll see you.
Hey, plan to be at Apex 2023, October 31st through November 2nd. Apex will build upon the incredible success of Joe's Garage, a full 10-bay working environment. If you earn your living in the auto service aftermarket, then Apex is for you. Hey, let's face it. Your shop management system is the most critical tool in your shop. And NapaTrax will move your shop into the SMS fast lane. With on-site training, 6 days a week support, and local representation. Find NapaTrax on the web at NapaTrax.com. You just did an incredible few hours this morning here at the TST event. You were on the main stage, and we always kid about classes on basic electricity. We kid about how do you get 400 people in a room to a basic electricity class?
Yep.
And you have to find the right title. So what was yours?
Advanced Application of Fundamental Electrical Theory.
I just love that. Just do.
If I told the truth, nobody'd show up. So.
So any feedback when you were done?
Yeah, I got a lot of good feedback. I'm my biggest critic every time, and I always tweak everything. During class, I look at Liz and I go, hey, will you write that down? Because somebody will ask a question. I'm like, we need to address that. Each individual that asked a question, 10 people were afraid to ask it.
Sure,
right?
Sure. Yeah.
Right. So great questions today from the audience. You know, we got a powerhouse audience here.
Yeah.
This is cream of the crop. So a lot of stuff I had to make some assumptions about the level of technician we have. And then I have to skirt that assumption and still bring in the foundations, right? I don't want to leave anyone behind.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's the worst part about electrical is really, you know, everyone could redo a foundational class, but then the guys are going to get bored because there's some fantastic guys in here.
So this is the only event, I think, in America where the attendees get a tablet and all of the notes and the handouts are there. So Keith gets up this morning and says, like a typical trainer, I was working on this thing last night at 10 o'clock. I made some tweaks to it. And then I think you put up a QR code to say if you want the most recent version of this, I put it up online and they would scan it and get it and put it into their tablet.
Yep.
So it was as fresh as when you just finished it the night before.
Yeah.
Everybody does that, don't they? They're always tweaking.
Oh, we can't leave stuff alone. We were talking to somebody at the bar or something last night and you're like, oh, that needs to be in the class.
Wait a minute. You went to the bar after we drank all that wine?
Oh, I had to go say goodnight to a friend of mine. Yeah, I had one beer, just one drink.
Oh, my. Anyway, so there's so many stories to tell about last night. Tracy's on with us, by the way.
Yes. Hi, everybody.
So there's a reason Tracy is on with us, first of all, because her and Liz last night, we couldn't separate them. And there's a reason why, and I'm going to tell you that in a minute. But Tracy was on episode 39 with the Walkers on the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast. If you have not listened to episode 39 and Tracy's full-length interview, I listened to it on the way down, and I was so incredibly proud of what she
did. And I said, I looked over at her and she was driving, by the way, she's driving down. And I says, I think I'm out of a job. She did so well. So I want her to really be a very big part of this interview, because last night it seemed that Liz and Tracy wanted to become like food critics or tours.
We're on our way. We recorded, I don't know, approximately 49 videos.
Oh my yeah, God, at yeah. least. Yeah.
Of all of the food, because mm-hmm. it was their first time going to Rigoletto's. So we really wanted to capture what it's like eating there with unlimited food that comes at you full force. So we can describe it all we want, but yeah. to take video and see the platters coming out, you're not even finished, more come out. I figured, you know what? This might be a good like inside kind of look into eating for 3 hours straight meat and pasta.
The behind the scenes nurturing of the trainers, because yeah. all the people that were at that meeting were either the volunteers or the trainers that are here today, and many of the vendors that supported yeah. the different levels of support. Actually, a few times I had to get behind the camera. I'm sitting next to Tracy while her and Liz are just, you know, oogling and goggling. Yeah. What were there, 15 courses you guys did?
I was going to say you did 49 videos, so you missed 3 courses.
Yes. Yes. Darn it.
Since there were 52 courses that came.
Oh, amazing. What was your favorite food, Liz?
I really like the ravioli and the meatballs.
Okay.
Yeah. Top two.
Right, top two for you. Mm-hmm. How about you, Keith?
The lime meatballs and the... Oh, what was the meat before that? It was all the meat wrapped up together.
The brujol.
Oh, the brujol. Yeah,
the brujol. My favorite was the deep fried mozzarella wedges. Yeah. I loved the flavor of that. And the chicken rigoletto. That was near the end.
Yeah.
There was...
With the bell pepper on it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, my
Fantastic.
God. That was just mm-hmm. so, so good. And by that time... The stomach's in a emergency room finding zone.
Yes.
Well, I was prepped ahead of time and ate maybe one or a half of each of the things. So I actually did good. It was fantastic.
Yeah. Well, I didn't feel miserable for sure, because you guys really set the stage. Like, you will not leave hungry at all. It will keep coming at you. And they didn't lie, guys. Like, it is
great.
Food after food after food, and things I've never, ever tried before. Oysters, or what was that?
Clams.
I never had clams in a shell like that. I don't think I've ever had handmade ravioli that was from down the way by somebody's mama, you know?
I love it. G. Trulia, of course, G and Doreen, G loves to come up with the list of courses, and there had to be 15.
Yeah.
There just had to be. The waiters, the waitresses, the service, you didn't want for anything. Nope. I mean, he really, first of all, he loves to cook himself, by the way. He just, he sends me pictures of him cooking.
Awesome.
And I'm Italian, but he's Italian and to a much higher degree than I am, because we did not grow up in a family. It was basic. It was lasagna and it was spaghetti and it was raviolis. And yeah, the grandmas and the moms made their own dough. But G takes it to a completely new level. In fact, if I ever go to Italy, he's got to be my tour guide.
Yeah.
So anyway, ladies, Trace, tell us a little bit about that whole food thing. Are you going to edit this thing down into something manageable?
Let's hope. I kept telling Liz, do you think anyone else is going to watch this besides our moms? And we were like, probably just our moms.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But I do want to be able to see the videos and release it, because I think it'll be really cool to see how many courses that there are.
Yeah.
We can actually tally that up.
I know.
Husband and wife, I know that the office is in the house. Am I right? Or did you finally move it?
We have both. We have an office in the house. We moved in together.
Oh, you told me. That's right. You moved from downstairs to upstairs
so
that you could be around all the action?
Yes.
Yeah. That's cool.
Together in one office. Yeah. And then we've got an office at the shop together also.
Yeah.
Any alone time, husband and wife time, non-business time together?
That's rough. We both enjoy it so much that our kids kind of constantly, hey, can we not talk about work, mom and dad?
Oh, it's the kids.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I think that our passion for the industry, like, doesn't make it feel like it's work all the time. You know, like, we find, like, comfort in just like, hey, like, we have this idea. Like, what do you think? And like, we'll just roll with it. And we're driving down the road. He'll miss like 7 turns because we're just talking about it, you know?
I am 100% directionally challenged.
Yeah.
And I autopilot everything. So if we get in the car, we're headed to work. Doesn't matter where we're actually going, what day it is, I start heading to work.
This is truth from Keith Perkins right here.
Yeah. I have one outside hobby now, but I've never had outside hobbies, never did anything. It was work and then home and hanging out with the kids and the wife. We enjoy being with each other.
Do you drive in together?
Well, I guess sometimes would be the correct answer. But most of the time, no, we both drive if we're both going to go to the office. Sometimes he stays home. On the days that we both go in, I leave around 2:30 in the afternoon so I can go home and get our kids. But for the most part, like when we can ride together, we like that, you know, and then of course we're talking the whole
summertime. We ride together a lot.
But you're responsible to be the co-pilot.
Oh yeah, I have a responsibility, but also like I can't tell him too much. Like if I tell him which parking space, that's off limits.
Yeah. Let me park
where I want to park, he says.
But you got to get me to the parking lot first.
Yes.
So I always tell my wife who wants to co-pilot with me way too soon than, and don't forget we have to get off here. Mm-hmm. I know that, honey. Well, sometimes you forget. And I said, no, I got that this time. And I said, did you do me a favor? If it doesn't look like I'm going to get off, then say something. Otherwise, try to let me be good and do this on my own, because if you keep telling me what to do, I'm going to lose that cognitive ability. Yeah. You just can't.
I am exactly the same. We have the same conversation.
100%.
She's like, don't forget you're going to get off. I'm like, I know. And she's like, yeah, but you would just drive by it sometimes. I'm like, not this time. I know what I'm doing.
I like watch his hand on the steering wheel. If it twitches a finger, like he's going to move
the turn signal.
Yeah. I think after 17 years, I do know his tells. Even like when he was on stage today, like he was swallowing kind of hard. I was like, okay, he needs water. So I went and found him a water bottle. You know, like I just know. I think he does the same for me though.
Yeah.
And we know when we need to take time away, you know, when we need to have no work, no kids, just like take some time. So we do that. It's definitely not as often, I think, as we would like, but. Yeah. You know, we'll have family that'll take them over the night. We're like, hey, let's just have pizza and a movie, or let's go out, or whatever. Yeah.
You do know how to find some downtime.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but it's a planned downtime. Yeah.
It's not planned. What you're saying, you look at each other and say, we need some downtime, or do you go out and schedule it's Tuesday night, we're going to go to the movies? No,
it's like a mutual, like we get to figure it out.
Yeah, it's organic. It's really organic.
It's organic. So you guys are really one.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're one.
Yeah.
We spend almost all day together nonstop. The only time I'm without her throughout a normal day is between 2:30 and 5.
And more importantly, you're friends first?
Absolutely.
Yeah. See, and you laugh a lot?
Oh,
yeah.
See? That's actually what the first thing that really attracted me to him, because I actually liked his best friend and he liked my best friend. But then like he just kept making me laugh and like kind of warm, you know, I was like, oh, hey.
Yeah, we went to tech school together. We went to different high schools, but we went to the same campus for tech school for two different programs. Neither automotive, by the way.
Yeah.
But we met on the bus.
Yeah.
It took us from our high school to.
That's the only way we met.
Wow.
It was insane.
Oh, first time on the internet. Crazy small world story. Your grandfather proposed to my grandmother.
Yes.
She was born in Germany. I was born in Oklahoma. And our grandparents lived in a town with less than 700 people across the street from each other.
Oh, I would say less than 200. I mean, that was a small town.
The town is so small, it got its first printed street signs in like 2018 or something. And there's no high school.
No, there's no school.
Yeah, they got like fourth grade or something.
Oh, really?
Up to fourth, fifth grade. Then they go to the town we live in now. Our grandparents lived across the street from each other and were almost married.
Wow.
Well, I don't know if almost.
Yeah.
My grandma said no.
Yeah. She denied.
Well, speaking of proposals, so I'm getting married this year, September 15th, and I hear that's a very lucky day for a strong marriage.
Yes.
It is. I can attest to that.
It is our anniversary.
Think, yeah.
That's why I picked that date.
Yeah. Is that? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
You were like,
as soon as I heard about that,
Liz and Keith, like, she's like Googling. We actually started dating on the 15th of January.
Yeah.
Long story short, there was some conflicts that we couldn't get married on that same date. So we're like, hey, what other month doesn't have anyone else's birthdays? Because like, you know, no one wants to celebrate an anniversary and a birthday.
She's one of eight.
Wait a minute. You met in January and you got married in September?
No, the following year.
The following year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Still short. I mean, we were both. Yeah. I was 19. She was 18.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know you were that young.
Wow.
I met him when I was 16.
So I got to tell you this because it's burning a hole in my mind.
Sure.
This whole mapping thing.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a class you have to give.
Okay.
Advanced Application of Fundamental Mapping Theory.
Yep.
So you can teach wives how and when they should speak up when their spouse either or, I guess, is going to make the wrong move.
Oh, okay.
And then there's this other one, Advanced Application of Fundamental Dating Theories.
Oh.
And so I think you guys could do that.
Yeah.
Here's the problem, though. We didn't date, like, but we were in high school. As far as dating goes, we are knowledgeable, especially like online. And
when we were dating, cell phones just got texting. And you had to hit a button 3 times.
Or 4. Yeah.
To get a letter out.
Actually,
so this dating app thing, we don't know anything about it. We don't know anything about dating apps. I don't know anything about any of that culture.
What's actually super funny is AOL Instant Messenger was like the thing. And so I saved all of our conversations. And that computer like crashed. I mean, this is like 16 years ago or something.
Yeah.
And I was so sad. I was like, oh man, there goes all of our conversations. Now they're like backed up to a cloud and like you can't unfind it, you know?
Yeah.
Wow. And you made it without all that high-tech gadgetry.
Yeah.
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 Well, you guys are an exception to the rule.
We are very much so.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. We grew together.
Yes.
As the years went on.
Tell.
We're different people than what we were when we were in high school,
right?
For
sure.
That's the hardest part, I think, is growing together when you're so young into adult life, into professional career. And you're right, you're not the same person as you are at 19 as you are at 35.
And you have to allow yourself and together to change. I've said this in the past. I could look at every decade of mine, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. And you look back at those decades and sometimes life was good when you turned, for example, 20 years old and 30 years old and 40 years old. I had 30 wasn't a great decade, but 40 was okay. And I can go back to where was I? Where were we in the goals that we had set? And when I think back to all of those evolvements, if you will, we had to let it happen because you don't stay stationary. And if you do, you're old and you're cratchety and you're sitting in the corner and you're drooling with a diaper under your chin.
That's right.
Okay. But otherwise, you have to let it happen.
Yeah.
And for you guys, it seems, even though 15 years now?
17 together, 15 17. Married. Well,
coming up in your, you know, your 20th year, no matter what your birthdays are, there's an evolution of not only time and birthdays, there's an evolution of the anniversaries of your marriage. If you're developing and growing and doing all those great things, continuing together.
Yeah. I think it's a choice. Every day you choose this. I think when you have an exit strategy or an exit option, then more people will follow that. Well, I can just leave. I can just stop being married.
Yeah.
But every day I choose him and he chooses me. You know, I brought up that fluid thing in the women's, the spouses podcast we did it at Vision. And it's so true that, you know, it ebbs and it flows back and forth. You know, if he's gone and doing training events, like, I mean, it's up to me.
It's 99% her running the show.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. And so I think that, you know, also having the same goals and ambitions and dreams. And I mean, he's created this passion for me in the automotive industry and then for everyone to collectively come together and just be so kind, you know, and willing to lift you up in the industry. You know, all of those things combined. Now we have like this totally new goal that we never started out having, you know, and now we have this totally different vision of what our future looks like, you know, and it's ever changing, by the way. Like we constantly, well, what if we went down this road and we like look ahead, what that would look like, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, is that a best move or should we like pivot and go that way?
Have you ever taken Keith the Gallup or Clifton Strengths Finders test?
Years ago.
All right. Well, you should get it. If you can sign up and take a look at those top five, you may find strategic in your top five because it's my first strength.
Yeah.
Strategic. And when I went back and started to study it, and of course I revisit those top five strengths often to really want to know. Every once in a while I get into, Tracy knows this, we got to do this, I have an idea about that. And that's my strategic think coming out, right? And then every once in a while it goes back to, and ideation is my fourth. So you, can you imagine I'm trying to strategic ford the ideation. River and I got to have this thing to help me do it, right? This whole ideas. And you end up realizing how you're built.
Yeah. I've done a lot of stuff like that. I'm very similar in that. What was it about? Probably 2.5-3 years of my college education was spent in psychology. I got way too much over analyzing myself for a lot of that. So I don't do a lot of those because I will intentionally try to manipulate knowing what I am. I know what I am. I kind of just go with the flow. It doesn't change much and had, you know, some weird challenges that's brought up over the years and on not over analyzing myself. So
I feel you with that because I have a hard time with those kind of tests. because I feel like the question that they ask is so situational. Mm-hmm. Well, I need more of a backstory. You want me to answer this question? Well, yeah. What was my day?
Oh, mine. You know, what mine, I go, I know what mind. You want. I know what you're asking, and I know why you're asking it that way.
Oh, shit.
So yeah. Let me, I'm like, this is the answer they want for this. So I think I, you know, realistically, mm-hmm. I do this just yeah. way mm-hmm. too.
But
way
wait
too
a
much.
Minute. They do put questions in there to catch and trap you. Yes. And then they mm-hmm. take, I don't know how it works.
Yeah.
The algorithms in the final score, but every one of those tests, if it's the discommunications, if it's the strengths finders,
yeah,
they put stuff in there.
Yeah. To put distractor questions yes. to lead off yeah. to determine yeah. your intent in the actual taking of the yeah. test and taking
yeah.
of it.
We got, yeah. The first 10 questions are, you know, the overanalyzers and then the ones yeah. that counter at the end.
Yeah. yeah. That we can analyze the stats on it and go, well, this individual was attempting to do this with their answers. They're so, but we are able to extrapolate this yeah. from that.
Hey, look, if you earn your living in the automotive service aftermarket, Apex is for you. Now, if you attended Apex 2022, then you realize the incredible commitment that Apex has to the service professional, shop owner, and technician. Joe's Garage is your place to be with 10 working bays as you experience real live working conditions, along with exciting demonstrations and the latest equipment presented. Also, the best tech companies from tools and repair to management software had their latest and the greatest on display. You also attended technical business management training with the industry's best and brightest. Work is already underway to make next year's Apex 2023 even better than ever, with more product demos, trending training, marketing, and the latest in business management training to help you grow your sales and profits. Remember, if you earn your living in the aftermarket, then Apex is the expo for you. Continue listening as we bring you the latest from Apex 2023. Save the date, October 31st. Through November 2nd, 2023. Hey, let's face it. Your shop management system is the single most important tool in your shop, period. NAPA Trax has made selecting the right shop management system easy by offering the industry's best, most comprehensive SMS. Now, it all starts when a local representative meets with you to learn about your business and how you need to run it. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. And having local representation is a huge plus. Customizing Trax to your business, whether you're a one-person shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company, a representative consults with you to help optimize your shop's workflow, efficiency, and profitability. Trax always has the flexibility to do business how you need to do it, which means it can also grow as your business grows. And unlike the other guys, we'll be there for you after installation with the best training and support in the business. Yes, a learning management system tailored to each role in your company. Simply put, Trax was designed and built for shop owners just like you. Visit us on the web at NAPATRAX, that's NAPATRACS.com.
Let's go down the Rolodex of all of the animals in your life.
We have four dogs. We have a mm-hmm. toy poodle. She's getting ready to be 7. Mm-hmm. And then we have a 1.5-year-old Great Dane. And then we have 2 mm-hmm. new German Shepherd puppies. They are brothers. They are about 18 weeks old, I think, now.
It's like having a pair of velociraptors in your house.
So we had lost a dog in August. And he really was, you know, hey, like, I miss having my dog, you know.
Yeah.
I think every dog kind of picks their human.
Sure.
And so he was really, you know, interested in getting another one. December, Christmas is a little too soon, I think, for us. Yeah. His birthday's in January. I mean, what do you buy a man that has everything? I've been, you know, researching for the last couple of months, like, hey, you know, where can we find another puppy? So these puppies just popped up on his birthday on my Facebook page.
Meant to be.
And yep. She had 2 males and a female. And I said, okay. And I said, okay, do you want a boy or a girl? And he's like, I think I want a girl. He's like, no, 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 I don't want to deal with that. How about just another boy? I said, okay. So I said, bring both the boys. We want to come meet them and pick. So
yeah, let them pick typically. You let the dog pick you.
He's very into this, which I love so much. So we go there. The kids have no idea. He picks this puppy out. I mean, they match immediately. I mean, just click. And this other puppy just keeps leaning on me and like giving, I swear, the biggest puppy dog eyes I've ever seen.
Still,
yeah. And I go, why can't we just have both of them? Can't we just please get the other one too? And he goes, Yeah, if you think it's going to be, it's two puppies at the same time. Like, you know, puppy time.
It's just double the everything, right?
Yeah.
It's, no, it is 12 times the everything.
Yeah. So I highly recommend one puppy at a time. They're lots of fun.
Yeah.
That happened in January.
Yeah.
So we have currently in at the house 20 chickens, baby chicks, and we have 5 goats.
Yep.
And then we have 1 pig. And then what? Last week? Yeah. Last week we got another little piggy.
And that was the picture that I saw.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Are pigs smart?
Oh, smart. They are probably the smartest animals we've ever.
Yes.
Done with. Each one, you put them in an area that they have that's theirs, and you set up a little bed for them. The pigs can't regulate their temperature, so we use like a heating blanket and the ability to have some fresh air and stuff. And then, but they're inside. Most of our animals are all inside. Yeah. But the goats were inside.
The
until
20
they were,
chickens?
That they're inside.
They're inside right now, yeah.
Right.
They're babies.
We're inside where? Oh, they're inside.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
babies.
Yeah, they have yeah. a little
okay,
brood.
The goats are inside?
The goats were inside until they got old enough that I could be like, okay, they can take care of themselves. We can put them outside in their area. And you know, yeah. we build a giant nice enclosure and they've got shelter and we built a huge lean-to that's like 12 foot by 6 foot. And but, you know, we build areas for them.
You know, if I ever need a place to crash.
That's one. Mm-hmm. That's, we got it. But yeah, so anyways, pigs are smart. The last one and this one did the same thing. Put them in the area and got a little sleeping area. Then you're like, hey, you put a litter box in there and you put food and water and they immediately pick up. This is a litter box. I know what to do here. Yeah. And that's typically, it's just amazing how intelligent they are.
You just keep like moving their stuff into the litter box and then like, kind of like a dog.
That
like
only happens for like a day or two.
Yeah,
and they gotta figure it out.
It's super, super quick. Yeah. And then you can take Cheerios, which are, it's hilarious. So you just buy Cheerios, a big old box of Cheerios. And then you just
favorite
start.
Snacks.
Yeah.
Oh. For pigs. They love Cheerios.
Faces. I love them. So you'll grab the little Cheerio and you can just start spinning them in circles. And then they get the
they
idea.
They go, oh, I got to spin in a circle for you.
And then
Cheerio.
He'll give me, yeah, he or she, yeah.
Cheerio.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very Cheerio. Smart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, they'll follow you too, like puppies.
Yeah. Similar training that we use for dogs, though. We reward good behavior.
Yeah.
So the puppies will sit and down, and even at the age they're at now, you find out if they're food driven or toy driven. Just it's pretty easy to figure out. German Shepherds are usually food driven to a fault. So we can just, whatever they do, if they get close, they sniff their cage, give them a treat. They get in the cage, oh, you flood them with treats. So yeah, just positive reinforcement.
Are you going to start a dog training business as well?
We made that joke already, but no.
Yeah.
Because we go to like, we have a Tractor Supply in Atwoods or like farm and garden stores around us. They're
sure,
small.
Yeah. We
go in, we go in all the time and they're like, you guys train them? Like, no, they're just our pets, but they need to be well behaved.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All the animals have been very well behaved. We can take them public places. Max, the shepherd we lost, was a registered therapy dog. And
So when we say therapy dog, there's a kind of a misconnotation. People think that they're doing something for you. No, actually they're doing things for the community. So we go to nursing homes, the VA centers, even they go to airports now just to help people like calm their nerves.
Anxiety.
It's a distraction from whatever is making you anxious.
Yeah.
Right. An animal.
Yeah.
So for some people listening, I can imagine, think, holy cow, you guys have a business and then you have a whole basically farm at home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How do you do it all? But it really seems like your animals are like your love and that's your downtime is taking care of the animals.
Yep.
Yeah.
Kids and animals. That's.
I think there's something about animals that they bring a fun joy, you know, like kids, you know, when they're young and those laughs that just like melt your heart and those hugs and animals are similar in that way. They have their own personalities. They have their own likes and dislikes and
they make you angry. They make you happy.
Yep. 100%.
All the emotions. It's something dependent upon you, right?
Yeah.
It's exactly the same as like a nesting thing.
Yeah. But yeah, we really enjoy it. Well, at least
so anyways,
I do.
So anyways, the picture Carm saw was 6 or 8 little piggies. And there was one that was just the oddball, the really dark with a little white spot on his head. All the rest of them were light and pink. And so we got the oddball because no one picks out the oddball.
Right.
Yeah, and so Liz says, which one do you think Keith picked out? And I go, him in the middle. And I was right because he was the oddball.
Yeah. Max, our shepherd, was the one white shepherd. He was blonde. He was all blonde. Yeah. And everyone else, all the other ones were brown. And so we got him. He was the best dog we've ever had.
If we could have cloned him. We actually were talking about this earlier. If we could have cloned him, we definitely would have. He was
because you can, but the problem was is we had him fixed when he was younger. And so we didn't think ahead.
Yeah.
I would have sold a vehicle to have the money to clone Max. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you try to be responsible pet owner, and then you're like, oh man, if I had just had one puppy from him. Like,
Yeah.
Thank you so much for this look behind the Perkins people's and really cool. And These are the human side stories of our industry that I just love to get told. So thank you all for listening. Trust me, I think our listener can learn an awful lot with their animal stories.
Yeah.
Industry, let's go back to today. Everybody tells me it's the same people in the room, Carm. We just need to do more. We need to grab more people by the nape of their neck. And speaking of animals, and get them to training, Keith, how are you helping more people grow in the industry?
I think the biggest contribution I have for that is actually leveraging social media. I got pulled into this industry in the training side because I was on YouTube. I was working at a shop, never been to a training event in my life, not a big one. I'd gone to like some local, had a really great CarQuest instructor that is actually my co-partner every Tuesday and Thursday nights when we do CTI training online. I say co-partner. Glenn does all of the work. I moderate, answer questions, type in the back. So Glenn was my instructor and he was like, have you never been to Vision? I'm like, no. And then somebody else I worked with, it was kind of a mentor. I had Peter Sarantitis and Bob Augustine, who different places in industry now. They were both like, you haven't been to Vision? I'm like, no. And he's like, you got to go. Chris Chesney kind of had seen some of my YouTube video stuff and that's what brought me in. So I'm leveraging that as much as I can. Every YouTube video is, you got to go to training. It doesn't have to be mine. Just go to training. Just better yourself. Mm-hmm. Find some way to communicate and network. That was what changed everything, was networking. I'm doing a better job at gathering technicians that are already in the field. What I need to do better at is getting people involved in the industry in general, younger ones, which, you know, it's a broken record. We all talk about that.
Okay. But. I'm having career day at my school. I'm the principal. I heard about you, or I get my car fixed at your place, or somebody's a good friend of you and say, automotive field, you got to have Keith Perkins come in and talk. What are you going to talk about?
I'm still working on it a little bit, but I've got a bit of a small presentation that involves me coming in and talking about all the things I do, but I don't reveal it's automotive until the end.
Ah.
So we talk about radar and using oscilloscopes and measuring things and doing component level repairs. And we don't talk about getting dirty. We don't talk about oil and grease. Mm-hmm. And we talk about physics. We talk about the possibility of the engineering student having a career in something that has a massive potential of unlimited freedom in doing something. Currently, if you're going to be in engineering, you're going to go work for somebody. But right now, if you're good at engineering, you can work for yourself in the automotive industry and make out. That's kind of what I'm working on, is this neat presentation that involves all these things that I do that you can do with no college degree, that if you're working towards that and you're that person, or maybe you have college education, and you can apply that to this and be super successful and be very rewarding career.
And I can imagine you near the end, as you say, I know you're all trying to guess what it is that this great industry of mine is. It's a profession. Remember, it's a profession. It's very professional. And oh, by the way, have you not noticed it's a high tech industry?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, and they're going to just, whoa, what could this be? Aviation? What is this? Is this?
That's typically the guess when I talk, when I've piloted this towards individuals.
And to say one of the most important things that we're starting to learn is the soft skills that are needed in our industry so that we have good bedside manners, just like great doctors have and great nurses have. And by the way, it's the automotive repair business.
Yep.
And you'd probably have everybody sit back in their seat saying, are you kidding me? There's this sloppy, ugly, dirty place that weeds are growing up and it hasn't had a paint job in 30 years.
Yeah.
You're not describing that to me, are you?
No. So the good news is part of it ends on that because people have said stuff like that. Currently, the outline has me using pictures of our shop and we have really well lit. It's newer. Mm-hmm. All of our buildings have been newer. We have to keep moving buildings because of size and space. But I think we're home now. I think we're home for the shop for a while.
For at least 3 years.
See, just she knows.
It's how you present it, right? If I was to stand up there in this uniform, this is what we wear at work every day. I typically wear khakis or gray khaki style pants and a shirt that looks just like this, slightly darker gray, has a different name on it because like we talked about, a couple different names. Even my work uniform is fairly professional. We want to be different. We wear polos. Mm-hmm.
Can I get up on my soapbox about the uniforms?
Yeah, I hate most uniforms.
It's dark blue. Polos. It's blue pants. It's blue shirts. Even instructors at colleges that go and visit the schools, there's not even the school logo. There's not a polo. It's just a blue, dark work shirt. And the reason it's blue or black is because they don't want to show you all the grease. It's a greasy business.
Yeah.
Keith, I think you just hammered
specifically
something.
Specifically why I wear khakis.
You just hammered something. If we're going to be seen as this high tech, we know it's a profession. We know people make a lot of money in this business, but if we're going to change our image, we've got to change how we look to the public. And, you know, it goes back to, I don't have my sport coat on, but when I was at Vision for 3 days, I was wearing a sport coat most of the time, unless it was in the studio, because, and most of the people that were sponsors, even though they were dressed professionally, some of them had a sport coat on. Why not walk into the front of a class? You want to even confuse them more?
Yeah.
Put a sport coat on.
So that's, I try to, so I'm still young. I'm a young man. I'm 35. So I have to also look the image sometimes too. I make that distinguishment at an event of other peers, of other professionals, right? I like, look, I want to be on the same level. So I wear the work, my polo and my khakis. But yeah, I go to something like ATMC, ASC
right,
or something.
Right.
We're professionals. Right. I don't dress that way. I wear a suit. I try to be as professional as possible. So
and have clean hands.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh my.
I do, mostly. I mostly have clean hands.
Well, they are. Yeah, they are. Surprisingly. And you know, you're right, Trace. You know, Kevin came in a little earlier, a good friend, Kevin Eckler.
Yeah.
God, we went on that cruise and he said, I lost all my calluses in the 2 weeks we were gone from the shop.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He shows them to me and I says, they're getting there.
Yeah.
Clean them up, baby. You know, you're in a profession. I think there's certain people that's their battle scars.
For a period of time, that was a big point of pride. Her youngest brother would make that known. He would notice that he's like, your hands have grease in them. And this is back earlier on in my career. And I wore that with pride.
Now, just to clarify, my brother is 14 years younger than me. Actually, today is his 19th birthday.
Yeah.
And so he was young. You know, he's kind of grown up with Keith.
Yeah.
Too, you know?
So it was one of those things. He would point it out and I'd be like, I take care of my family with these hands. Mm-hmm. So it was big for me then. And now I get to make the same thing. I take care of my family with these hands, but they're also clean now.
You can get in front of that group when they ask you the question, I thought this was a dirty, greasy business. And you say, we all wear gloves so that we can have clean hands for our families.
Yes. I have big foam, thick rubber pads at every single lift corner. They're everywhere. I'm like, protect your knees, take care of your body. What's funny is we're all relatively young at my shop. The oldest individual in my shop is 37 years old.
Yeah.
And that's our new guy. The guy with the least amount of experience in the industry.
I'm hearing more and more. I am so excited by, and I don't want to say it's a youth movement, but there are so many young people. We're finding them. We're teaching them. They're encouraged by the atmosphere and the culture inside the businesses in the bestest run shops. I'm not sure that's the right way to say what I'm saying, but I think you get it. There's two families.
Yeah.
There's the work family that you have to consider. The word family is huge. Yeah. And then there's, of course, their, you know, your extended family, and that would be their family. We did an episode with Matt and three mobile techs. I asked the question of one of these guys, anybody ever come up to you and say, hey, you know, a better place to work? And he said, you know, I have to be very careful to say anything, but Carm, what you're asking, not for a better place, but you know of a place that has a better atmosphere to work in. And what they're really saying is culture.
Yes. That's the biggest part for us. She's smiling at me because of all the little things that we were talking about. Somebody was Instacart or whatever. They were dropping off Instacart order at the shop.
I mean, we talk about how we don't have a lot of time, so we pay for the time. Instacart is one of those ways.
Yeah.
And the lady came in, she's a much younger lady. She says she's been, according to the app, had been working for Instacart for 3 years as a shopper. And she came in with a wagon. I mean, she's really thinking with her head, not making 17 trips, right? She comes in with a wagon and I'm taking Rice Krispies. I mean, this is from Sam's. I'm taking these giant Rice Krispies out and putting them in this drawer. It's a Milwaukee toolbox. And she's looking and she kind of like steps back and she like kind of looks up around the corner.
Didn't know where she was.
She had no idea what was happening. And she goes, why do you guys put them in a toolbox? And I said, oh, this is our break room. We give our guys a budget and they can pick whatever they want for the like couple weeks or month or whatever for snacks, you know? Yeah. And so Rice Krispies is probably the number one thing that they Rice request.
Pop-Tarts, Reese's Pieces, popcorn.
And Capri Sun.
Capri Suns and Fig Newtons, the big ones.
Yes.
Tell me about the Rice Krispies. Are they having it like a cereal with milk?
No. Rice Krispie treats.
Rice Krispie treats.
Yeah.
And then we stocked the fridge. Some of the guys like Powerade, some of them like Gatorade, some of them
like zero sugar stuff. Some of them like, oh no, I can't have zero sugar.
Dr. Pepper.
So yeah, Mountain Dews.
Are you addicted to that, Dr. Pepper?
No, that's one of our guys.
Oh, one of our guys.
Okay. Yeah. And so they collectively come together like, hey, you know, this is what we want now. We want Dr. Pepper, or next month it's maybe Mountain Dew, you know, or maybe it's just Propel. Or one time I accidentally got a new one for them to try. Like I was hey, let's try this. I won't say the name because it's not fair, but there was this
company. Dropped every other one.
Sorry. Well, it's not fair to give negative publicity.
Anyways, the point of that was that lady walked into the building and did not recognize it was an automotive repair shop. She thought she was bringing it to something. And then she kind of like, what's going? Wait, that's a toolbox? What? Started looking at, you know, because we put all of our this tag will this tag will be hanging up in our office on Monday, along with the like 65 other ones from all of our techs and all the training events we go to. Line the walls with them is what we do.
I think on the refrigerator, though, don't we still have the magnet?
Oh, yeah.
And it says our name.
You described a person to me that is flooded with common sense. She observed, she tried to figure it out what's going on here. It wasn't just a job. She knew she was bringing something to a place that didn't fit in her mind.
Right.
And other people would just drop it off and leave. They were just delivering. She was delivering something even more. And that was, I want to learn about who these people are. Mm-hmm. Our biggest problem today, I think, is a lack of common sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got to think from her mindset. She's typically delivering to a house. How often is somebody catering in snacks all the time for their employees?
Yeah, I see.
To just have an open.
And again, there's the common sense. What's all this about?
Yeah, what is this is different?
Mm-hmm. This is all sugar high stuff. What's going on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
It was a neat thing for us. A pretty prideful moment when we recognized an individual walked in and didn't go, this smells like a shop. This looks like a shop. All those things. Walked past that and then it clicked. She's like, oh, this is for people that work here. This isn't for the office. This isn't for whatever. This is for everybody.
I think she might have made the comment like, oh, I should work here or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody should work somewhere where they're appreciated and happy. And I think that's no matter what industry you're in, you should be happy every day.
Yeah.
Damn right. Well, look it. I'm going to give you each a last word here in a sec, but you got to watch for that foodie thing that Tracy, it's going to take you hours to edit that.
Yes.
It hours. Will. Yeah. It's going to take you hours.
By next TST, it'll be ready.
Okay. Just check.
You've got to count on the screen each course.
Okay.
Do a count.
Do a tally.
Time.
Oh, course one. Oh, yeah. We could put some overlays on it.
Yes.
Huh? There we go.
That'll be a whole lot of fun. I like that. I mean, she's got like an hour and a half worth of video.
It was a lot of courses.
And I'm standing next to them and they're going, I mean, here's the mozzarella. They're going, no, 10 minutes on mozzarella. I'm saying, come on.
There's a lot more coming.
We love food. We love it.
Yeah.
I just couldn't believe it. Oh, this was a blast.
Yeah.
Thank you for being here. The website's for training at least?
Yeah, L1training.com. Letter L, the number one, the word training.com.
Cool.
Yeah.
And of course, the mobile business, the brick and mortar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're going to change the name of the company to L1 Auto Group. I love that.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, it probably does. And then you go to that website and then everything is there, right?
You're going to have to do that.
So easy to get to. But you're a genius. You'll know how to link it all together, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, hey, some of those domains are fun ones, though, so.
Yeah.
Could be whatever.
Interesting. I'd love to know what the 30 of them that you own are. Any final thing for the industry, Liz?
I'm proud to say that I'm part of it, pretty much.
Yeah.
It's a really awesome group of people.
Are you ever going to get out and stage like Keith does?
You know, people keep saying that. I was talking in the bar last night. People are like, yeah, you should do training. You should do training. You're really passionate about this. I'm like, I am. I just don't know if I want to get in front of people.
There's an encourager that we all need to have someday. Mm-hmm. They see something in me that I may not. Yeah. And so don't count yourself out, because what I see is both of you on stage playing off of each other. I mean, right there, the basic fundamentals of electricity that you perfumed that pig. It was called Advanced Application of Fundamental Electrical Theory, or Basic Electric.
Yeah.
Fabulous how you sold that. The room never emptied because they realized, oh my God, I got this. I can imagine you both doing that together.
Yeah.
Anyway. When you start doing that, please let me know. I was right. final words, man.
Similar to her thought, I'm just fortunate that this industry has taken care of my family and done everything. And that's why I like teaching. like watching it happen, I like watching other individuals catch it and go, I can use that tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's good enough for me. But my number one thing is go to training. Go watch it. Watch it online. You can watch this. There are people watching live right now. Yeah. What's happening out there.
Yeah, there are. And that's the beauty of TST. Yes. I got so many things going on in my mind. I think it would be best that I just quiet. Tracy, you have anything yes. to give here?
Echo the same thoughts. I think it's really important to go to training. You know, first coming into this industry, I had no idea there was automotive training. It just wasn't really a thought. And what I'm seeing is so many people developing friendships all around the country.
Yeah.
And I think maybe some, and I'm assuming technicians maybe feel a little on an island when they have friends all across the country and a huge network and they can go to events and see them in person. I think that really brings their level of skill up. And it keeps them activated and keeps them engaged and excited because, you know, Keith, you say all the time, you guys are bouncing around on chats and talking about a problem. And so I think that also helps you kind of not feel like you're alone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Well, thank you, Tracy. I have to stop calling her the nickname that I give her all the time.
There's many nicknames.
Yeah. I used to call her French Fry, Trinket, and Little Girl. And every once in a while, I want to say that in a public thing. So I just said it to the world. Okay.
Yeah.
Liz and Keith Perkins, thanks for being here from L1 Auto Group.
Thank you.
Thanks, Carl.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Tracy.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.